Yasodhanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yasodhanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dhari. Yasodhanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yasodhanandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Sing again.
Om Akyara Tiviram Dasya.
సహగనా రఘునాథాన్వితం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సవధూతం పరిజనా సహితం శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాం సహగనలలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినీతి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది శ్రీ గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ థర్డ్ క్యాంటో చాప్టర్ 25 వర్స్ 2 Somebody saying హరి బోల్ యు హియర్ దట్ Very excited. Nahyasya Varshmana Pumsa Varimna Sarvayoginam Vishritau Shruta Devasya Bhuri Tripyanti Me Asava నాహస్య వర్మణ పుంస వర్మిణ సర్వయోగినాం విశ్రుతౌ శ్రుతదేవస్య భూరి తృప్యంతి మే అసవ నాహ్యస్య వష్మణ పుంస విశ్రుతౌ శ్రుతదేవస్య భూరి తృప్యంతి మే శవ నహ్యస్య వష్మన పుంసాం వరిమ్నా సర్వయోగినాం విశ్రుతౌ శ్రుతదేవస్య భూరి తృప్యంతి మే శవ లేడీస్ నహ్యస్య వష్మన పుంసాం పరిమ్నః సర్వయోగినాం విశ్రుతౌ శ్రుతదేవస్య భూరి తృప్యంతి మే శవ నాట్ He, indeed, Asya, about him, Varshmanaha, the greatest, Pumsham, among men, Varimnaha, the foremost, Sarva, all, Yoginam, of yogis, Vishrutau, in hearing, Shrutadevasya, the master of the Vedas, Bhuri, repeatedly, Tripyanti, excuse me, Tripyanti are sated, me, my, Ashavaha, senses. Shaunaka continued, there is no one who knows more than the Lord himself, no one more worshipable or mature, a yogi than he. He is therefore the master of the Vedas, and to hear about him always is actual pleasure of the senses. The purport. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that no one can be equal to or greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Vedas also. Eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman. He is the supreme living entity and is supplying the necessities of all other living entities. Thus all other living entities, both Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva, are subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The same concept is confirmed here. Nahi asya varshmanaha pumsam, amongst the living entities, no one can surpass the Supreme Person, because no one is richer, more famous, stronger, more beautiful, wiser, or more renounced than he. These qualifications make him the Supreme Godhead, cause of all causes. Yogis are very proud of performing wonderful feats, but no one can compare to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who is associated with the Supreme Lord is accepted as a first-class yogi. Devotees may not be as powerful as the Supreme Lord, but by constant association with the Lord, they become as good as the Lord himself. Sometimes the devotees act more powerfully than the Lord. Of course, that is the Lord's concession. Also used here is the word Varminaha, meaning the most worshipful of all yogis. To hear from Krishna is the real pleasure of the senses. Therefore, he is known as Govinda. For by his words, by his teachings, by his instruction, by everything connected with him, he enlivens the senses. Whatever he instructs is from the transcendental platform, and his instructions, being absolute, are non-different from him. Hearing from Krishna, or his expansion, or plenary expansion, like Kapila, is very pleasing to the senses. Bhagavad Gita can be read or heard many times, but because it gives great pleasure, the more one reads the Bhagavad Gita, the more he gets the appetite to read and understand it, and each time he gets new enlightenment. That is the nature of the transcendental message. Similarly, we find that transcendental happiness in Srimad Bhagavatam. The more we hear and chant the glories of the Lord, the more we become happy. So I want to reflect on this verse by sharing a small piece of good news. My spiritual master, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, said, always give devotees good news and get their blessings. That is the secret of spiritual life. So I wanted to reflect on this verse by giving good news and then unpacking what Srila Prabhupada is trying to say. The good news is, it took me 18 years to write my commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, and it is now coming out in October from HarperCollins, India. And what I did is, when I was studying the Gita, and this Srila Prabhupada mentions that every time you read it, there is a fresh meaning. So when I was studying the Gita, I meditated on what did our acharyas leave behind for us to do. Each acharya leaves behind a lot of service for us. That is their grace. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had written two commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, Rasika Ranjan and Vidvat Bhanjan. And Srila Prabhupada took, so Rasika Ranjan was based on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Vidvat Ranjan was based on Baladev Vidyabhushana. So Srila Prabhupada took the Vidvat Bhanjan commentary and wrote his Bhagavad Gita as it is. So the Bhagavad Gita as it is based on Baladev Vidyabhushan, and therefore the dedication says to Baladev Vidyabhushana. So I noticed that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was remaining. So I prayed and I took on that service and I tried to write a commentary on the Gita that so that a 21st century reader will be able to understand the beauty of how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the Gita. And so in today's class, I want to talk about Krishna's secret, based on the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that helps us understand this particular purport and verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. How many of you are ready to listen to Krishna's secret? Krishna's secret. You know, from an ordinary perspective, Krishna's life is a serial disaster. Serial disaster. How many of us here have the honor and privilege to say to our friends and family, you know, I was born in jail. Janmashtami is coming up, so I must... How many of us would want, you know, just for the fun of it, to be born in a jail? Krishna's life begins with injustice. His parents are jailed for no reason. You know, usually a king will jail a person who has broken the law. But has Devaki and Vasudev broken the law? No. Their only fault is they are going to have a child who is going to take away Kamsa's throne. And so Kamsa doesn't hesitate to jail anybody who he sees as a threat to his power. So there Krishna's life begins. Now when Krishna is an infant, who is the first demon, ogress that comes to kill Krishna? Putana. You know what the word puta means in Sanskrit?
Son.
Huh?
Son.
Putra is son. Puta is stench. 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 Like agha means sin. Each of the demons of Krishna Leela's name indicate a certain anartha. Putigandha. Putigandha in Sanskrit means, you know, when water is stagnant and moss begins to appear and the moss becomes rotten, that's puti. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that putana is that demon that pretends to be Krishna conscious but actually wants to kill Krishna. What does putana do? Putana pretends, I am trying to suckle Krishna. But what is she really trying to do? She is trying to kill Krishna. In this way, Krishna keeps meeting one demon after another, unasked for, till the residents of Gokula think this is no longer a safe place for us to stay. Krishna's life, therefore, from an external point of view, is a serial disaster. And then, how many of us think that it is actually joyful for Krishna to stand in front of Arjuna at the Battle of Kurukshetra? Krishna was smiling, but is that a happy situation? Kurukshetra is one of the bloodiest war humanity has seen. But between Vrindavan and Kurukshetra, other things happen. When Krishna is very young, Krishna becomes known as a very talented singer and dancer and actor. And you know, when somebody is a very young, handsome, talented singer and actor. All the girls go crazy. Have you seen Beatles concerts from the 70s? Whenever the Beatles came, everybody was like, screaming. They don't know why they were screaming, but they were screaming. Right? If you see a very famous Bollywood actor, actress, people behave very strange around them. There is an aura. So imagine Krishna has all fame, name, strength, beauty, detachment, knowledge. So everybody was crazy about him. And when he's about 11, Krishna hears from one messenger of King Kamsa that, hey, he is your uncle. Your real parents are in jail. Imagine finding out when you're 11 years old that your real parents are not the parents you think are your parents. Your real parents are in jail for no fault of their own. And the king who has put him in jail is trying his best to kill you. And he has arranged for this circus. And in this circus, there are mad elephants and there are assassins in the guise of wrestlers. And each one of them are going to try and kill you. And you can't say no. So at 11 years of age, Krishna is yanked out of his idyllic home. He loses the love of his life, Sri Radha. He is brought to Mathura and he has to fight till he beats Kamsa. Right? Janmashtami is coming up. This is our meditation. And after Krishna kills Kamsa, what happens? Anybody remember? Who is Kamsa's father-in-law? Jarasandha. Jarasandha is Kamsa's father-in-law. Now here is one secret. This is not Krishna's secret yet. Here is one secret that we don't often think about. There is a long chain of command of corrupt rulers. Kamsa is a small town corrupt ruler. He is in a small town called Mathura. But his father-in-law is from Magadha, Jarasandha. He is a bigger criminal. He gives protection to Kamsa. And who is giving protection to Jarasandha? Anybody? Anybody who knows? Who is protecting Jarasandha? Huh? Sorry? Kovala, the elephant. No, but think about it. Dhritarashtra is sitting at the throne of Hastinapura. It is the most powerful kingdom. The most powerful empire of his time is protecting all of these other corrupt kingdoms, including Jarasandha's kingdom, including Kamsa's kingdom, all of it is this chain of command. And these people have absolutely no moral, guilt about harassing people, torturing them, using public funds for their own personal enjoyment. No scruples, no moral scruples. And in the middle of all that, Krishna kills Kamsa. And who finds out? The father-in-law. That you have widowed my daughter and you think Jarasandha is going to let go? So Krishna's life just gets very complicated. Now imagine Krishna has left Vrindavan, Krishna has left Radha, Krishna has left Yashoda Nanda. Do you think if Jarasandha finds out all the details of what is most dear to Krishna, he will spare it? Will Jarasandha spare it? No. How many times does Jarasandha attack Mathura because Krishna is there? Huh? 18 times, 18 war campaigns. 18 war campaigns. And why is Mathura so important? Anybody, any history geeks here? Why is Mathura so important? Did anybody pause to think that in the ancient world there was trade between Mesopotamia and China? And Mathura is a trade post right in the middle of the trade route. Even today, when you have archaeology in Mathura, you unearth Greek statues. There was constant business going on between Greece, Mathura, and other parts of the world. It is a trade hub controlled by a rogue king. And everybody has their eyes on it because whoever controls that has power. And ultimately, who has control? Dhritarashtra and his sons, Duryodhan, Dushasan, and others. And what have they done? They have evicted the Pandavas. The Pandavas are living in exile. Krishna decides, and here is Balaram Jayanti coming up and Krishna's birthday coming up, so I'm going to say a little Krishna Balaram story. Who's ready for a Krishna Balaram story? And Krishna decides that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to put my support behind the Pandavas, not the Kauravas. These guys have nothing, but they are righteous. Now, imagine if you had four brothers or four sisters and one of them gambled you away in a gambling match. Will that relationship survive? If you are if one day you find out that your brother has pawned you at the pawn shop, will you call that person your brother anymore? But that's what Yudhishthir did to all his brothers. He gambled them away, including his wife. And despite that, they stuck together. And this is why Krishna supported them. Why did Yudhishthir Maharaj gamble away? Because it is dharma to protect an innocent life through whatever means possible, even if it requires a great sacrifice on one's end. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was trying to save the lives of the millions of innocent soldiers who would have otherwise been killed by participating in a gambling match. Here, Duryodhan, take my stuff. Let's gamble. Don't kill innocent people. This is the value of ahimsa. This is why Yudhishthir Maharaj gambled. We often wonder, is he a gambling addict? No. He can control himself. But he knows that if I gamble now, it will avoid war. That's why he gambled. And now, and Balaram, in all of these things, is a very pro-establishment guy. He is like, Duryodhan is in the throne, let us support him, let us give him a chance. And so what Balaram does is teach Duryodhan how to fight with a mace. And he was thinking that I will make peace with the Kuru kingdom by getting my sister Subhadra married to Duryodhan. Then we'll be in peace. But Krishna had other plans, and this is where Krishna's secret begins. Krishna got Arjuna, and Krishna and Arjuna noticed one thing, that Arjuna was so attracted to Subhadra, he could barely keep his eyes off her. They were constantly looking at each other, and it was not a brother-sister look, okay? They were like in love at first sight. And Krishna said, Arjun, my brother Balaram is trying to get sister Subhadra married to Duryodhan. Do one thing. According to the Vedic system, there are 8 kinds of marriages divided into 3 gunas. Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, Tamoguna. In Sattvaguna, a father may offer his daughter in hand to a suitable groom. In Rajaguna, 2 people may fall in love and that's considered marriage. In Tamaguna, if a woman wants, she can be kidnapped. Because if her family does not give consent, it is kosher. So in this way, you don't try it right now. You will be in a lot of trouble with the law enforcement people. But in that age, that was possible. So Krishna told Arjuna, kidnap Subhadra, leave. And so Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra and left, and Balaram was furious at Krishna. Furious, furious, furious. And so there were some things that always remained between Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra. Do you remember Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra? They look like Jagannath, Subhadra, Balaram. Those are the 3 characters, Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra. They shared secrets. But there was one secret of Krishna that only a 4th person besides Balaram and Subhadra knew. Can you guess what that secret is? That secret was known by Uddhava. No one else knew that secret. Only Krishna knew, Balaram knew, Subhadra knew, and that's why we worship Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and Uddhava knew. And you know, the funny part is, all of us are told that secret. We participate in that secret every day, but we don't do it with proper knowledge. But I'll come to the secret. So in this way, Subhadra gets married to Balaram. And Balaram realizes that, hey, there is no possibility of peace between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, and the Yadus are now getting involved. And so when Kurukshetra battle happened, Balaram left for pilgrimage. And Krishna decided that I am going to split myself between my army on one side and me as a charioteer on the other side. This is the famous story of the Bhagavad Gita. But here is the question. Why is Krishna fighting so much with one villain, one demon after the other? He could have just had an easy life. He goes to the forest. He stays with the Pandavas. He takes up so much hardship upon himself. Is Krishna's life easy? He is Bhagavan, of course. But is Krishna's life easy? It is a serial disaster. And now he is standing in front of Kurukshetra, saying, my dear Arjun, if you do not fight, then there will be dishonor. It is your nature to fight. And Krishna goes to the whole Bhagavad Gita, which I will not get into the details of. But here is a Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur style reflection on the Gita. Let our minds be sharpened like the tip of an arrow by Krishna's words, so that it may reach and pierce whatever it is meant in the hands of a great student and yogi like Arjuna. And yet an arrow cannot move unless there is feather at the back of that arrow. Have you seen? Have you seen arrows with feather at the back? The feather is like Krishna's feather and the tip of the arrow is like Arjuna's weapon. The two have to be balanced. A sharp tip is like a sharp intelligence and a light feather is like a light heart. If the two do not come together, you are not able to achieve perfection in devotional service. You see the metaphor? In this way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this is my metaphor, in this way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives metaphors after metaphors in beautiful Sanskrit poetry. And he points out one thing, which is, Krishna's secret is, I'm not going to tell you. You have to be patient some more, at least 12 more minutes. Krishna's secret is, that, you know, as he was growing up, his favorite forest among all the forests of Gokul, Govardhan, Barsana was Vrindavan. We have Vrinda Devi right there. We worship Tulasi Vrinda. And the forest there is called Vrindavan. And Krishna used to love getting lost in that forest when he was out grazing with his cows. And we meditate on that, and that Vrindavan is famous because that was the place where he had his rendezvous, his secret meetings that nobody else knew about. Now, do you think if a young girl and a young boy is meeting, they would want their parents or brothers to be around? No. Why? Rupa Goswami explains it is rasa abhasa. It's an admixture. It's all the wrong moods coming together. You know, if a young couple is having a romantic time and their parent turns up on the scene, that romance flies out of the window. That is why Krishna meets in Vrindavan. It is his peaceful romantic groove. And even there in Vrindavan, the Gopikas notice that among them, there is one and they don't know who it is because it is Krishna's secret. There is one that Krishna is giving extra special attention. Everybody thought Krishna is equal to everyone, but these people, Krishna is giving extra special attention to somebody. And they don't want to name it. They don't want to name that person. So the Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Anayaradhita Nunyam Bhagavana Haririshwara. Who is this person? Krishna's secret. And the only answer is, whoever it is Krishna's best worshipper. She is Krishna's best worshipper. That's it. Zip. Not the commentators, not the Mahabharata, not the Bhagavatam. Nobody knows Krishna's secret. Only Krishna knows Krishna's secret. Balaram knows, Subhadra knows, Uddhava knows. But do we know what is Krishna's secret by now? It is not Srimati Radharani. There is a different secret. Who knows Krishna's secret? Radharani is Krishna's secret, but Radharani is not Krishna's ultimate secret. Here is some more information about, some clues about Krishna's secret. Jiva Goswami points out that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. For an ordinary person to walk into a temple room and see, you know, these people must be crazy. They get up early in the morning to dance around a plant, singing Bengali songs. What is going on? How many humans on the planet wake up early in the morning to sing around a plant? It makes absolute no sense. But when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. This Brinda plant is a little piece of the forest where Krishna used to get lost. It is where he experienced, explained, and shared what it means to love truly, deeply, really, in a way that you cannot find in this world. We worship a little part of that forest. Now is that making sense? When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And there is one Sanskrit word that Jiva Goswami points out, which is Hare. In Sanskrit, and Mother Madhumati may correct me, she is an expert in Sanskrit. The word Hari, you know, E ending masculine noun, Hari. When you call somebody whose name ends with an E sounding word and that person is a male, it becomes Hare. So if that person's name is Ravi, right? The E becomes an A in according to Sanskrit grammar. However, there is another Sanskrit rule. If that is not a male, that is a female, and her name ends with A, it also becomes A. So Ganga becomes Gange. Hey Ganga, we say Hey Gange, that is correct grammar. So Jiva Goswami points out that we say Hare. Hare is not Hari becoming Hare. It is Hara becoming Hare. So Hare is Krishna's secret. You know, when you fall in love, you give beautiful names to the person you love. Johannes becomes Johnny. Isn't it? Do we give nicknames to the people we love? Somebody's name might be David, but you call him Honey. Because you are in love, you are a couple. Similarly, the name Krishna has for Sri Radha is, it's a secret name, nobody knows. Hare. And Sri Radha has a secret name for Krishna. You know what that is? Ram. Ram means Ramana, the most beloved romantic man. And so Krishna calls Sri Radha Hare, and she calls Krishna Hare, Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Ram, Hare, Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. In this way, they infinitely call to each other's names, and that is Krishna's secret. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the secret among secrets, because nothing else in this world captures the beauty of the love between Radha and Krishna more deeply, more sweetly, more elegantly, and more intensely than Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we are the most fortunate because we get to hear Krishna's secret. That is not even accessible to people who are there during his lifetime. And this is the power of the parampara. When you understand what is the secret based on the teachings of previous masters who have carried this secret intact, then you get to enter Krishna's inner life. And Krishna says that among all yogis, there are some that attained siddhi. And among so many people who attained siddhi, only a few may get to know me as I am. And Srila Prabhupada started this purport by saying that in the Bhagavad Gita it is stated that no one can be equal or greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because no one, despite having, you know, some amount of wealth, fame, strength, knowledge, beauty, detachment, is able to love as infinitely as Krishna does. And then he ends this purport by saying, each time by reading the Bhagavad Gita we get new enlightenment. Because it gives great pleasure. The more one reads the Bhagavad Gita, the more he gets appetite to read and understand it. So today I wanted to share this particular realization on the Gita through the Srimad Bhagavatam in the spirit of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami, and say that ultimately the secret of Krishna's life, the secret of the Gita, is the mantra we chant. And Krishna says in the Gita, Machitta madgatah prana bodhayante parasparaha kathayante mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. I'll finish with that. Machitta madgatah prana. For those who have given their life to me, they have set their hearts on me. Bodhayante parasparaha. What do? They enlighten one another. Kathayante mam nityam. You know, in most yoga retreats and many other places, they will 7-day silent retreat. Krishna says the opposite. My devotees can't stop talking. They're always talking to one another and enlightening one another. And in this way, tushyanti cha ramanti cha, they become very deeply satisfied and they become delighted. Thank you very much for your kind blessings as I made an attempt to share my realizations on this text, translation, and purport. We can share your realizations, thoughts, questions. We have a few minutes.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Very wonderful class. I want to congratulate you on your book, 18 years working, coming out with that. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
And I hope the sales go nicely.
Karmani eva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. I'm not worrying about sales. Krishna is in charge. I'll make an attempt. But thank you. If devotees of Krishna, you know, kind of take it on and share it, it'll go out. The publisher told me if you're able to sell 10,000 copies, it's a national bestseller. It's like, okay, we'll see. And they're giving a special author's price at $3 a copy. I'm not promoting, I'm just saying. Yes.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada said something like, the pure devotee can do even more than the Lord.
Yes.
And I thought of Srila Prabhupada.
I thought of Srila Prabhupada too.
Yeah. Lord Chaitanya took, and even Bhakti Siddhanta went throughout India, but Prabhupada brought Krishna consciousness all over the world. Imagine his late age.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Prabhupada and others, they end up doing superhuman things. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, every day I'm studying and translating. 14 children, transferable job, sick body, heavy management. After that, I have no idea how he can find the time to write Yashomati Nandana Brajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Ka. Sharira Vidya Jal Jarendriya Tahe Kal Jive Phale Vishaya Sagore. You know, it's incredible. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo. It's interesting how you mentioned Mathura as a trade route. Last year, we were in Cambodia, and we went to the museum, and there's an ancient map of Mathura.
I can imagine.
Pardon?
I can imagine.
Yeah, and it explains the trade route. We were really, really surprised to see a map of Mathura there. And it's very, very old.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we can understand Krishna better if we study the history of the Mahabharata and the rest of the world. Krishna was born in a certain context. Like Jesus Christ was born in a certain context. Mahaprabhu was born in a certain context. Buddha was born in a certain context. Lord Ram was born in a certain context. So just because they are avatars does not mean the context was not there. And Leela requires context. Without context, there cannot be Leela. Right? Who ate the cookie from the cookie jar that was in the fridge? Well, it requires a context. Somebody had to make the cookie first. Right? So Mathura was a very important trade route. Whoever controlled it controlled the economy of the region. And therefore, it was very important to... The question was, all these trade spots, trade hubs, were they going to be ruled with dharma or adharma? And Krishna put Yudhishthir Maharaj on the throne because he had absolutely no interest in being the king. His only interest was, let dharma be maintained, let people be happy, let trade go on. You know, and Krishna was a kingmaker. Krishna himself could have become the king many times. After Kamsa was killed, they said, Krishna, you should become king. Krishna said, no, Ugrasen should come. So many times. And then what did Krishna do? He built himself a peaceful city in Dwarka and just left and remained in peace with the Yadu dynasty till Yadu dynasty began their own troubles. But Krishna put Yudhishthir on the throne, put Arjun, Bhima, Nakul, Sahadev. Why? Because these people are dharmic people. No matter what, they will not compromise the four pillars of dharma. So that's why. Whereas the others will cut corners. So dharma in administration is critical, especially when a civilization is dependent on it. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Tell us more about your book, like the mood, the acknowledgement preface, or what all things goes and
the,
what all planning
the book,
you did.
The book is called Soul of the Bhagavad Gita. Soul of the Bhagavad Gita. And the book says very clearly how Hare Krishna Mahamantra, because you know, a lot of people do not connect Vrindavan Krishna and Kurukshetra Krishna. They think these are two different Krishnas. So I told the story of how the Krishna of Vrindavan ended in Kurukshetra.
For upcoming times and future generations, what will they expect from that?
They will be shocked.
How much of Prabhupada is there in that book?
The first reference I give for further reading is Prabhupada's book, Prabhupada's Gita. So this is my offering to Bhagavad Gita as it is. How do I say as it is without saying as it is? I call it the soul. Prabhupada did Valadev Vidyabhushan, I took Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And I say this is based on my realizations grounded in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And you know, the conclusions are just the same. I mean, whatever I find, I did not create anything new. Except I, you know, put a narrative style that will work with Gen Z and millennials. Because a lot of people my students come and tell me that, hey, you recommend Bhagavad Gita as it is, I don't understand what is going on. So after studying the Bhagavad Gita as it, my grandfather gave me the Bhagavad Gita as it is when I was 5 years old. That was 39 years ago. So after 35 years of reading the Gita and teaching the Gita for 18 years at various universities, I found the questions people ask, I see where they are stuck. So I took our acharyas and I explained them in a way that these people can understand.
So Prabhupada's purpose were the devotional ecstasies. So do you have the similar purpose style?
Yes. But I have put it, I put an emphasis on three things. One is dharmic leadership. Each one of us have the power to become a good dharmic leader. In our families, in our jobs, in our temples, in our governments, dharmic leadership. The second is on mental resilience. That, you know, dharmic leadership requires mental resilience. Without mental resilience, you won't be able to go very far in life. Arjuna lost his mental resilience. That's why the Gita was spoken. And the third thing I have there is surrender, Sharanagati. Sharanagati is the ultimate message of the Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Right? And I finished the book with a story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I mentioned there that once Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through Sri Rangam. How many of you know this story? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his tour, he was traveling through Sri Rangam. He suddenly saw a priest who was trying to read the Gita, but the reading was messed up because this priest did not know Sanskrit. He was, you know, crying and, you know, behaving weird and trying desperately to read the Gita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him and said, hey, tell me what's going on. And he said, you know, I am an idiot. My guru thinks I am an idiot. I am trying to read the Gita. It is my desire in life. But I don't know Sanskrit. And so my guru said, you go to this temple and try reading it in public. And he was making a fool of himself in public. And he was making an absolute idiot of himself in public. And as he was trying to read the Gita, he began to cry and Mahaprabhu asked him, why are you crying? And he said, Mahaprabhu was a stranger, right? He did not know who Mahaprabhu was, but he said, you know, I don't understand what is going on here. I don't get the grammar of it. But when I meditate in my mind and I witness Krishna Shyamasundar standing on a chariot, becoming a servant of his devotee to give this advice to Arjuna, the hair stand on my end and I cannot control myself. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced that illiterate Brahmin and said, I have never seen a bigger scholar of the Bhagavad Gita than you. You are the greatest scholar of the Gita. So many people read the Gita. You get the Gita. So I concluded my commentary by saying that one day I pray that I get to understand that Gita like that illiterate priest from Sri Rangam. That's how I concluded.
Isn't Prabhupada actually concluded on that story that you are mentioning because he was following his guru. Even though he did not know the language, but guru empowered from within.
Correct.
That was the main cause why he was feeling ecstasy.
Correct. Thank you.
Also, I wanted to give a little side note on that where you read the translation. Shonaka Rishi said, Krishna knows, nobody knows more than Krishna. Krishna knows everything.
Hmm.
But externally, it may not manifest that way because Krishna knows everything, but he also tells Jogamaya to cover him where he will act like he doesn't know. Otherwise, there will not be any Leela.
Correct.
And that verses are there in the fourth chapter, Adi Leela, those who are interested. Because many years back, I remember in this festival day, this question was asked and was not properly answered.
Hmm.
It says, Mubishaye gopigane rupavati bhabe, jogomaya koriben apana prabhabe. Amito na jani keho, na jane gopigan, duhar rupe gune duhar nitta haremon. All those verses says that Krishna will act like he doesn't know because he put himself covered by Jogamaya. We have to understand from that angle, then possible, yes, Krishna knows everything. Vedaham samati tani vartamanani cha arjuna. That's true.
True. Very true. When we forget our car keys, it is because of our forgetfulness.
Yeah.
When Krishna forgets, it is for the sake of enjoyment. Krishna can choose to forget. We cannot choose to. We forget helplessly. Krishna does not forget helplessly. Krishna chooses to forget for the sake of fun. Thank you. Yes.
So any other devotees have attempted to write Bhagavad Gita?
So many. And Srila Prabhupada encouraged it. Mother Ragatmaka will answer that question. You can give her the microphone.
Prabhupada Priya Dasi wrote, and she's Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Baba, Bhakti Vedanta. She wrote The Living Gita, published maybe 2 years ago. It's so good. It's very good. It really, it's in sometimes the language of the people out there. It's very good. She's an exemplary devotee, living the Gita herself.
Yogeshwar Prabhu has his Gita. Yogeshwar Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, Wisdom of the Gita. There is Ranchar Prabhu's Gita, Burijan Prabhu's Gita, so many, and Garuda Prabhu's Gita, Beloved Lord's Secret Love Song. So Srila Prabhupada encouraged that there is a passage in the Vedabase where Srila Prabhupada says that there can be many Gitas.
So I'm sure you've been through all of those, and Prabhupada wanted every generation to have its own Gaudiya literature. So what would you recommend to the present generation whom are forgetting to read and write due to the technology? Like how would you inspire them to write something of their own?
People go to ChatGPT for whatever reason in our generation. They are forgetting to read and write, and I would see that I wouldn't recommend any other author. First, let's understand Srila Prabhupada properly. He's the bedrock. There are two dangers. One is to study Srila Prabhupada without context, without reference to previous acharyas. If you study Srila Prabhupada and you do not pay proper attention to his previous acharyas, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, every passage Prabhupada says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this, Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhupada says, Vishwanath Chakravarti says this. To read Srila Prabhupada divorced from his previous acharyas is very dangerous. To read all of these other literatures without reference to Prabhupada is equally dangerous. Prabhupada creates the ethical framework, the societal framework for us to understand. Otherwise, these teachings are very prone to misunderstanding and misuse. And that is called Sahajayaism. And it has happened in history many times. So to have Prabhupada is the guardrails of understanding Gaudiya Siddhanta. Whether you are a member of ISKCON or not, no matter who you are, I would recommend read Prabhupada's books very carefully. Right? You may agree, you may disagree, but Prabhupada is very clear. There is one thing you have to give Srila Prabhupada. He does not leave space for, too much space for confusion. He is very absolutely clear about what he says. You may not understand it. Prabhupada is clear. All right, Bhagavatam.
One more question.
It's 9 o'clock. We will continue after offline. Thank you. Hare Krishna.